Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and from who is to come, from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. Our text is our gospel reading, which includes these words. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again." This is our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, in our introit from the well-known Psalm 23, the Lord is depicted as our shepherd, the one who leads, the one who guides, the one who comforts, the one who protects his sheep, his people. And here in the gospel reading, Jesus is claiming that title of shepherd, but he doesn't just use the word shepherd, he calls himself the good shepherd. But what is this word good? There are several Greek words for good, and this one here is always translated as good, likely because for centuries the English-speaking church has called Jesus the Good Shepherd. But it doesn't exactly mean good, certainly not in the sense of morally good or upright or righteous. It's not that kind of good. Rather, it is more like what we hear in Mark 7:37, when Jesus is healing many people, and the people seeing it are astounded and amazed, and they say this, "He does all things well." Well, or good in this context, means competent, proficient. Jesus is good at what he does. Jesus is good at shepherding. He's more than good. He's excellent at it. You might call this Sunday Best Shepherd Sunday. No one can out-shepherd our Lord Jesus. Jesus gives us some of the why he is the Good Shepherd, but before we consider that, let's think about the opposite. What does it mean to be a bad shepherd, an incompetent shepherd, a false shepherd? Our text calls these hired hands, or sometimes translated hirelings. Now, like many things in life, you've probably learned this, there's usually one correct or right way to do a particular task, while there are many wrong ways. Think about math. There's one right answer and lots of wrong answers. It's the same with shepherding. There is one right way to shepherd and lots of ways to be a false shepherd or a bad shepherd or an incompetent shepherd. And when I say shepherd, think more generally about leaders, anyone who has charge of people, anyone who is caring for or leading people. These shepherds may be doing a good job, or they may simply be doing what they are doing not for the sake of the people they lead, but for themselves. We have all sorts of claims on leadership in our culture. Obviously, government leaders, they are explicitly charged with caring for their people. We may think of corporate leaders who not only lead their employees, but through whatever their corporation does or makes, they may also be influencing the culture. Sometimes celebrities or sports figures are placed up as leaders. Now we have this thing called social influencers, and apparently that's even something you can put on your resume. Some of these individuals may have good intentions and want what's good for the people that they are leading. But there are other motivations. They may be in it for the glory or the prestige. They may be in it for the money. They may be in it for control, being that whatever their worldview is, whatever their ideology is, they need to impose that on everyone else. Not all shepherds are like that. The bad shepherd, the incompetent shepherd, The one who's not actually very good at shepherding can always be identified by one particular feature, namely, they don't care about the sheep. Listen to what Jesus says. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But the good shepherd is different. He cares for the sheep. Jesus gives us another reason why he is the good shepherd. In verse 14 of our text, he says, I know my own, and my own know me. Jesus knows his sheep. He knows them deeply and intimately. Now, real sheep are known for a few faults. They're weak, somewhat helpless. Some people say they're stupid. They're easy prey. They're prone to wander. We're like that. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, writes Isaiah. But the Good Shepherd knows your darkest secrets, your deepest fears, your anxieties. He knows them better than you know them yourself. While sheep have many defects, and while we sinners likewise have many defects, sheep have one exemplary quality. They learn the voice of their shepherd. They can pick it out from a crowd. They listen to that voice and follow it. And you likewise follow the voice of the Good Shepherd. Though we can never know Jesus as well as he knows us, he has revealed himself to you in his holy word. From the pages of Scripture, his voice is pleading with you to come again and again to the place where you would be well cared for, protected, and nourished, the sheepfold of his church. Through his word, you know the Good Shepherd's merciful character. You know his providence for you. You know that he provides for you. You know his love for you. And you know that as shepherds go, he's the best one. But our Lord's knowledge of you is only the beginning of how good a shepherd he is. For unlike the hired hand, unlike the false shepherds, the good shepherd doesn't run away when he sees the wolf coming. Jesus, the good shepherd, does not leave you, the sheep, without protection. He wards off your enemies. He fights against them. But not only does he fight, when Jesus sees the wolf coming to destroy you and me, he hurls his own body at the wolf. He's like a soldier who jumps on a live grenade to protect the lives of his fellow soldiers. Jesus throws himself into the mouth of the ravaging wolf, the prowling lion, and allows it to devour him instead of you. As Jesus says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That is what makes him the good shepherd. We must be reminded that everything that happened to Jesus during his passion, the betrayal, his arrest, the sham trials, the mocking, the scourging, the crucifixion, didn't simply happen to Jesus. It wasn't just bad luck. Jesus permitted those things to happen. To the world, Jesus looked like a fraud, or perhaps to the more righteous, he looked to be an innocent victim. He was indeed innocent, and by the world's standards, he was a victim, victimized by false accusations, weak leaders, weak shepherds of the people, weak Roman authorities. But he knew all that. He knew what would happen. He allowed it to happen. Jesus willingly laid down his life for you, his sheep. The ravaging wolf of your sin, Jesus allowed it to consume his body. That old ancient serpent, the devil, struck Jesus, and Jesus just took the venom. The wide, snarling mouth of the grave swallowed up Jesus in one great bite. Jesus didn't run from the fight. "No one takes my life from me," Jesus said, "but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again." But our good shepherd did not succumb to the bite of sin, the venom of Satan, or the mouth of the grave. He conquered them in the resurrection. Sin lies impotent. The devil is crushed. The grave vomited Jesus up. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus conquered all of these things. And as your shepherd, he baptized you into the still waters of baptism, baptized you into his death and resurrection, so that you who desire to listen to his voice would be led by the good shepherd. He leads you out of your sin, out of the punishment of sin. He leads you away from the devil and his demons. He leads you through death to the other side, where there is life. He has the authority to take up your life again, to raise you from the grave, just as he did to himself. And this day he leads you to a table in the midst of all your defeated enemies, the table of the altar where he feeds you. The good shepherd guards you and guides you your whole life through. He never stops fighting for you. St. John writes in our epistle reading, "By this we know love, that Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." As we follow our good shepherd, as we go where he went, it only makes sense that we would lay down our own lives for the good of others. We embrace our discomfort as we confront the false shepherds of our day, as we live contrary to the way our culture would have us live, as we speak in ways that the culture finds offensive, as we think in patterns shaped not by the philosophies of this age, but by God's word. Not in order to lord it over others, not in order to show how much better we are than everybody else, but because we love other people. We throw ourselves into the wolf's mouth for the sake of others. We make sacrifice for other people, not looking for a fight, but in the places and the vocations where God has placed us. And may we ever listen to our good shepherd our whole life long and follow where he leads. In the name of Jesus. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.